If you have lived for a certain amount of time, you will have images of some newsworthy events that you remember vividly. One of the things I remember watching live on TV took place on June 17, 1994. On that day, a former NFL player and actor named O.J. Simpson and his friend Al Collins led police on a 60-mile slow-speed car chase through Los Angeles and Orange counties. This occurred just 5 days after Simpson's ex-wife and her friend Ronald Goldman were stabbed to death outside her condominium in Los Angeles. And Simpson quickly became the prime suspect. The car chase unfolded in real time with news helicopters tracking the white Ford Bronco that the two men were driving in. It is said that this event altered the landscape of what we call reality TV today. For approximately 95 million viewers were glued to the TV watching this car chase. What followed was also considered must-see TV, as what is known as the O.J. Simpson trial began, and much of it was televised live. Simpson was formally arraigned on July 22, 1994, entering a plea of not guilty. The trial began on January 24, 1995, with Lance Ito as the presiding judge. Judge Lance Ito and the attorneys involved in this trial became household names, recognized by anyone who watched the trial proceedings. How many of you were watching the trial at that time? It's not in my script, we're old, aren't we? Yeah. これスクリプトはないです。私たちはちょっと年取ってますね。はい。 On October 2nd, 1995, the jury finally began deliberating and reached a verdict in less than 4 hours. On the following day, October 3rd, 1995, Simpson was found not guilty of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. However, Simpson was also sued by the victims' families for wrongful death, and the civil trial began in October 1996. The jury for this trial found him responsible for the deaths of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman and awarded their families $33.5 million in damages. Needless to say, public opinion on whether the O.J. Simpson trial was handled correctly was divided. I too am left to wonder if the verdict that was made was correct. Yet it is beyond the scope of my knowledge, and I am not placed in a position to make a judgment on the matter. Some of you may have never heard of O.J. Simpson until today. He died just over a week ago on April 10th. He was 76 years old. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. This final statement in the portion regarding what we believe concerning Jesus, God's only Son, our Lord, in the Apostles' Creed, is what we will be looking at this morning. Yes, Jesus Christ will come again to this world, and when he comes, he will judge the living and the dead. These things are clearly found in the Bible. 2 Timothy 4:1, it says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Paul goes on to exhort or charge Timothy to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. This makes total sense because Paul wanted people to be prepared for Jesus' return and for the coming judgment. And there is no better way to be prepared for Jesus' return than to read, study, and receive the Word of God. In the book of Revelation, we have a clear description of Jesus' judgment. Here we see a twofold judgment. one reserved for the believers up until the time of Jesus' return, and one reserved for everyone else, which comes after what is known as the millennial kingdom, which is Jesus' 1,000 years reign over his kingdom established on this earth. The judgment reserved for the believers up until the time of Jesus' return is described for us in Revelation 24 through 6. It says, "Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who is a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. The first judgment has to do with those who are made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. This is sometimes called the judgment seat of the Christ, and has to do with the judgment of the works of the believers. Thus, it is not a judgment in the sense of determining whether a person is saved or not, since those present before Jesus here are all believers. The works of the believers will be evaluated in order to determine how each person will serve the Lord in his kingdom. This is a good reminder to us that works do not save us, but God does care about our works, especially done in obedience and faithfulness to him. These believers include those who came to Christ before the Great Tribulation, as well as those who come to Christ during the Great Tribulation. This judgment is also referred to as the first resurrection. It is separated from what is known as the second death by 1,000 years. The second death is described in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Here is described the final judgment, which is also known as the Great White Throne Judgment. Of course, Jesus Christ will be the judge who will sit on the great white throne. A passing away of the old order will occur at the time of this judgment. The present heavens and earth, which have been in existence since Genesis 1, will be done away with, as described in verse 11. This judgment will be a judgment of all unbelievers of all time. And as can be seen in this scripture passage, no one will escape this judgment, for the dead, great and small, will be brought before the throne and will be judged. All of them will be judged according to their deeds, and because of their unbelief, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. This is why it is called the second death. The first death is physical death. These unbelievers will be raised back to life and will stand before the great white throne to be judged by Jesus. However, they will experience a second death, which will be eternal separation from God forever in the lake of fire. When it comes to trials and judgments handed down in a court of law in the world we live in, I almost feel like it is a game of you win some and you lose some. I know that sounds somewhat flippant, but I say this because of how the court system is set up. We have a judge who presides over the court who is human. He or she is a flawed and sinful human being, just like the people who are brought before him or her in the courthouse. We have attorneys, both on the side of the prosecution and defense, who are also flawed and sinful human beings. Also, it is sad, though not true of all attorneys. Many of them are more interested in winning an argument than seeking justice. Then we have regular everyday citizens like you and me who are asked to serve on a jury to deliberate and come up with a verdict based on the testimonies and arguments that are presented. How many of you have served on a jury or for a trial? Good citizens, very good citizens. Did you find that experience to be easy or difficult? I don't think it is easy to pronounce judgment on someone, especially if I don't know that person to begin with, and also because I am not all-knowing. Additionally, my own flawed and sinful tendencies get in the way of me being able to make good and right decisions. I am so glad to know that God, and specifically Jesus Christ, will be the final and ultimate judge who will judge us all. I say this with great comfort and with great trepidation. I am greatly comforted with this truth because Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord knows what we go through as people living in this world. He knows our struggles and our pains. The Bible reminds us that Jesus has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Jesus in his humanity stood on our side and dealt with sinful humanity in a sin-infested world. Yet he did not sin. This is important because who wants to be judged by someone who is sinful? I'm reminded of Jesus' interactions with the Jewish religious leaders in bringing judgment upon a woman caught in adultery. John chapter 8, 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" They were saying this, testing him, so they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go, from now on, sin no more." What is not to be lost in Jesus' interactions here with the scribes and the Pharisees is the fact that none of us is without sin. These religious leaders knew that they were not without sin. In fact, the older ones, the most mature of the group, left first, highlighting this point even more. I know that the older I get, the more I am made aware of my sinfulness. The Bible makes it very clear that none of us are without sin. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Here the prophet Isaiah highlights for us the wayward nature of us human beings who like sheep are prone to go astray and do as we please. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Here the apostle Paul highlights the fact that we have all sinned and thus fall short of God's standard of perfection. That is the glory of God. What is also not to be lost in Jesus' interaction with the woman caught in adultery is the fact that Jesus can offer us mercy and forgiveness. That is not condemn us. He is without sin. And thus, as the sinless and righteous Son of God, he has the authority to judge us. And he can offer us the judgment of not condemned or not guilty because he has justified us through his work of redemption and going to the cross to die for our sins. This truth is highlighted in the second part of Isaiah 53:6. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. We are sinners who have gone astray from God, but God caused our iniquity, our sins, to fall on Jesus Christ. The truth is also highlighted in the verses that follow what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 3:23. For all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Jesus going to the cross showed that he was just and the justifier of the one who has faith in him. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. This is what we believe and declare every Sunday in our worship service. Last Sunday, Pastor Okura reminded us of the joy that we can have now in our relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, because we know of the certainty of his return. That will indeed be the best day of our lives. And thinking of it should fill our hearts with joy now. However, maybe that is not how you view Jesus' return. Perhaps you are now afraid of how Jesus will judge you. If that is the case, let me share with you how you can await Jesus' return with great joy. Let me begin by reading 1 John 5:4 and 5, which Pastor Okura also shared with us last week. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Here we are told of who overcomes the world. Everyone born of God, that is those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. This refers to the victory we have in living in this world through our life with Jesus Christ, because he is the victorious one. Listen to Jesus' words to his disciples just before he was to go to the cross to die for our sins. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world by taking upon himself the sins of all mankind and conquering the wages of sin, which is death, through his resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul describes this victory in the following manner. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want the assurance to be able to stand before Jesus Christ when he returns, all you have to do is to be born of God by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. To be born of God means to be born again, which Jesus exhorted a Pharisee named Nicodemus to do. John chapter 3, it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" To be born again means a spiritual rebirth. Physically, we are born into this world, but we are spiritually dead in our relationship with God due to our sinful nature. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are spiritually born again into a right relationship with God. When we think of it in terms of the first resurrection and second death, that was talked about earlier as it relates to Jesus' judging of the living and the dead. Those who are born twice are said to die only once, for they will live eternally with God after the first resurrection. On the other hand, those who are born only once, that is only physically but not spiritually born again, are said to die twice, with the second death being an eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. Thus, Jesus exhorted Nicodemus to be born again through believing in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus made it clear that those who believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This means that when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead, those who believe in him as the Son of God will not be judged, but be saved. They will be together with Jesus in his millennial kingdom and live forever with him in heaven, because they will be a part of the first resurrection. And we are assured of this because salvation is not based on what we have done or will do, but is based on the perfect work of Jesus Christ. Thus, our salvation is secured by believing Jesus Christ as the Son of God. In so doing, we are putting our complete trust in him, and thus in his perfect work and promises to us. And in the Bible, we are promised that if God is for us, our victory is certain through Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 31 through 34, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Jesus is our security. Jesus has saved us and made us right before God. In Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, we have victory. We can overcome this world through Him. We can look forward with great joy, not only to Jesus' return, but also His judgment. If you would like today to be your day of salvation and your beginning of a life lived together with Jesus Christ, then pray the following prayer along with me. Dear Jesus, I need you. I believe that you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for saving me and for giving me eternal life. Please be the Lord of my life so that I can live for you. I pray these things, acknowledging you as my Savior and Lord. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, then rejoice in it as a gift from the Lord. Now, I want to encourage you to take the next step of your faith journey with Jesus Christ by preparing to receive baptism as a public profession of your faith. You can do so by talking to Pastor Okura or myself. Either one of us would be happy to meet with you for this purpose. People in the Lord, we believe that Jesus Christ will come again to this earth to judge the living and the dead. At the same time, how appropriate it is that we will have communion this morning, where we are reminded to continue to partake of the communion until Jesus Christ returns. 1 Corinthians 11:26, it says, "For often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." May we be ready for his return by having the assurance of eternal life through believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died for our sins, rose victorious from the grave, and is now at the right hand of God, the Father. Let us pray. お祈りしましょう. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, 恵み深い天にいます父なる神様, we praise you. あなたを褒めたたえます. We thank you that in your love, you have sent Jesus Christ, your Son, into this world to save us. 神様の愛により私たちを救うために御子イエスキリストをこの世に送ってくださったことを感謝いたします. We thank you for giving us life that is both abundant and eternal through your Son, Jesus Christ. 御子イエスキリストを通して豊かで永遠の命を与えてくださることを感謝します. We thank you for the victory that you give us through your Son, Jesus Christ. 御子イエスキリストを通して与えられている勝利を心から感謝いたします. We thank you that through your Son, Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, we have received the forgiveness of our sins and have been made righteous before you. 生ける者と死に至る者を裁かれる御子イエス様によって、 私たちが罪の許しを受け、父なる神様の前に義とされたことを感謝いたします。 Please help us to remember this as we partake of the communion now. 今私たちが聖餐に預かるとき、このことを覚えるように助けてください。 We pray this in Jesus' holy name. イエス様の聖なる御名によって祈ります。Amen. Amen.